Once there had been a magic about the city. Just hearing the name conjured images of Dickens's young trickster, Dodger, or of Sherlock Holmes in Baker Street, putting his mind to a three-pipe problem, or of any one of a thousand tales of adventure and derring-do that were woven through London's magnificent avenues and shadowy network of back streets and alleys. For centuries, people had journeyed from across the world to England's capital to see where their favourite stories were set, or perhaps to make their fortune, or maybe to simply stand and gaze at the wonders of Trafalgar Square or Big Ben. Not anymore. Those days of magic were long gone. For one thing, the tourist industry did not really exist in the Bauxite Empire, and for another, Big Ben had been torn down decades ago to make room for a giant statue of the Blessed Colonel, whose stone eyes watched over the city and everyone in it. And Big Ben was not the only landmark dragged under by the Bauxites. Brick by brick, the Empire was erasing relics of the past and remaking London in its own image, uniform, imposing, grey and implacable. Almost all of the office buildings were constructed out of poured concrete, with little in the way of distinguishing marks, just row upon row of dimly lit windows, lidded by half-drawn blinds. As the older London buildings were worn away by acid rain, they were demolished and replaced by utility blocks dropped in place by megacopters. The blocks were pre-wired and plumbed, and just required connection to the main supplies to be fully operational. London's history was being erased on a daily basis. One such building that had fallen into disrepair and was due to be dynamited in 6 months' time was the Bauxite Youth Academy, the officer school for the Empire's military, where cadets from all over the world came to be indoctrinated in the way of the Blessed Colonel. Inside this most austere academy, no attempt had been made to cater to the comfort or physical well-being of the cadets. Benches were hard stone, and thin mattresses were laid on flat planks. The Spartan model was often cited, and weak candidates were not encouraged to play to their strengths, but instead traded to one of the Bauxite Empire's harsher institutes. Inside her cubicle, 17-year-old cadet Chevron Savano woke before the morning's reveille siren, but kept her eyes closed in order to prepare herself for the day's nightmares. No, not nightmares, Chevy thought, though the Blessed Colonel knows I have plenty of those. These are daymares. Waking visions. Chevy tugged the cot's rough army blanket over her head so that the wall-mounted box lights could not even cast a glow on the insides of her eyelids. What's wrong with me? She wondered. Why do I see things that aren't there? These visions were interfering catastrophically with her training at the Bauxite Youth Academy. Chevy's scores had dipped quite sharply in recent days, so much so that the file clipped to the foot of her bed had an orange card tucked into the folder. An orange card, a review, the first warning, and perhaps her last if she could not make a satisfactory show of herself. The academy rules were sacrosanct. One serious slip, and her place would be offered to the next in line. And it was a long line, millions of souls long. Her review was today, and if it went badly, she could be sold to a box soldier factory in Dublin, or worse, to the mines in Newcastle as a spade monkey. Chevy shuddered. A spade monkey? Surely that would be a fate worse than death. Chevron could pinpoint exactly when the visions started. It had been 6 months ago, on the night she'd sleepwalked down to the academy's musty basement and collapsed in a heap of mysterious half-formed clothes, long ropes of drenched, saturated cloth that looped her body like dark serpents. She had been wearing neither nightshirt nor slippers, just this strange material that dissolved into slop as she slowly woke. Then her stomach had convulsed, and she'd vomited a strange glowing gel that turned to light particles and drifted away like fireflies. Light, she remembered thinking. Am I dying? Is this death? But her breath had come in rattling whoops, and Chevy's heart had hammered a testimony to her hold on life. How did I get here? Where is here?